Okay. If I'm going to take you on...
You won't never regret it.
Look, just listen to me. If I take you on...
I promise I'll work so hard.
God, this is a mistake already.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Erica.
We're back.
We back.
Finally, we did it. We did it. I'm so proud of us.
Go us.
We watched this movie...
Like 3 weeks ago.
We were getting ready to come back.
Yeah.
To school.
Back to school.
We're here.
Guess where we are. Who wants to tell them where we are? I can tell them.
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Are we on Mars?
No, wrong. We're on Earth.
Great.
In Georgetown.
That's better.
I saw a rover when I walked in. But...
I think that was just a dog. Yeah.
We are in this wonderful place called Gelardin New Media Center in Lao, which is fantastic. And they have these recording studios, and somehow they let us in. And so now we're using, like, one of those fancy suspended microphones.
Yeah, it's got a spit screen and everything.
Yeah, we're not using the spit screen. Get ready.
Let us know if it sounds okay. We're all around one mic. As we usually are, but I don't know if this mic is designed for that.
Yeah.
But like, it also has it's cool.
I feel like it'll be fine.
I'm into it.
Mom, I need your feedback on this one.
We got like the fun foam things on the wall to like soundproof everything.
Yeah, and now we can say we're shooting out of historic Studio 7.
Yeah,
because
this is the 7th studio in Gelardin.
That's what it's called.
Cool.
That's what they said when I wanted to reserve it. They're like, oh, do you think Studio 7's? This is my
Well, now we have to do it every time.
Now we have to do it every time.
Yeah, we're going to be from here.
That's
if we record in Gelardin, we're going to be in this studio.
Yeah. This is ours now.
The other one is way better.
Is it? Well, should have gotten the other one. Now we're stuck here.
The other one, oh, no. Oh, well, there was someone there already, but this is okay.
Well, guys, I have a suspense list for you.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because I did this with the Back to the Future one.
Right. And then we
find
forgot.
That one, it's great. And then I just never did it again.
Yeah.
So here's my suspense list for this film that we watched.
What movie?
Which you already know.
What movie is it?
Could it be?
Guess
Half-Lit Men's Faces. 19 pounds gained muscle weight. One grandpa hat. One poorly placed red stool.
Oh.
Name that film, guys.
That's Million Dollar Baby.
We watched Million Dollar Baby.
We watched Million Dollar Baby.
How'd you like this movie, Daniel?
We'll talk about that later. but first, we'll go to a recurring segment. IMDb synopsises. Are they great? Let's find out.
Okay.
Usually, they're vague.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes they're okay.
They sound like
horrible.
The back of a DVD cover sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. They might come from the back of DVD covers,
yeah,
to be
sure,
honest.
Probably.
People are pretty lazy on the internet.
Okay. So, like, here's the shortest one.
All right.
A determined woman works hard with a hardened boxing trainer to become a professional.
All right. That's great. That covers the whole
If you're
going to
do it in a sentence, then yep, that's good.
I guess. Okay. Okay, they're all, like a paragraph.
Oh.
Let me just read.
We'll find a paragraph one.
Okay.
We got nothing but sweet, sweet time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
sweet time.
We only got this thing for, like, 2 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Wanting to learn from the best, aspiring boxer Maggie Fitzgerald wants Frankie Dunn to train her. At the outset, he flatly refuses, saying he has no interest in training a girl. Frankie leads a lonely existence, alienated from his only daughter and having few friends. Maggie's rough around the edges, but shows a lot of grit in the ring, and he eventually relents. Maggie not only proves to be the boxer he always dreamed of having under his wing, but a friend who fills the great void he has had in his life. Maggie's career skyrockets, but an accident in the ring leads her to ask Frankie for one last favor.
Ooh, I like that one.
The one last favor was good.
Yeah.
It was a little all over the place with their description.
I don't know.
Like, it was good.
If something is supposed to be a synopsis, it's supposed to describe the movie in full.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
I thought that was great.
It could give a little bit more background on Hilary Swank, but I guess that's what we're here for.
Oh,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I like this.
Hopefully you've seen the movie, because then we're just spoiling
everything
for you.
We're going to ruin it. I think my red stool might have...
Yeah,
it's quite a film.
It is. It won Best Picture.
It did win Best Picture in 2005, but for 2004... 2005. Great. Because it came out in December of 2004. Like most Oscar-winning movies. not in 2004, but in December. All Oscar-winning movies have always come out in December 2004.
What are your thoughts about this particular Oscar-winning film?
Who are you talking to?
Should we do, like, a shoot-around?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Why don't you start?
All right. I liked it. I think it's a great, so the reason, let me start over. The reason we chose this film was because we all were like, man, we have not had any strong female leads in any of the films we've been watching.
Yeah.
And we want to change that because we want to see, like, how these top movies are portraying women in a more positive light.
And, like, what kind of movies, like, what kind of portrayals of movie of women, like, get into the top 200?
Exactly, because, like, we all saw Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
We all saw how dumb some of those characters were.
We all watched The Shining.
We all saw that. Oh, God, The Shining, yeah. But, so we chose Million Dollar Baby. And I thought it was awesome. I think it's a very Clint Eastwood film.
Yes.
I've seen a few of his films, and they are always very dimly lit, and people always have half of their face covered in a shadow for no reason at all. And I think Daniel will probably bring this up, but some of the dialogue's a little weird and not my favorite and just kind of boring. But I thought that the performances, and specifically Hilary Swank, were phenomenal. Like, Hilary Swank does a great job. She's just great. She's very, like, you can tell she put her, like Daniel was saying earlier, heart and soul into this performance. So I liked it. I think it deserves to be in the top movie list.
I didn't hate it.
Okay, I see. Just declining scale of interest. That's fine.
But, no, okay, so I think it definitely ticked the box of strong female character. Hilary Swank definitely killed it. It was awesome. I very much enjoyed her performance. I thought they could have definitely developed a couple of things much more, and we'll get into that. But, I mean, and it's pretty, like, it's not super high on the list. So if it were to be on the 250, I think it shouldn't be that high. And, yeah, I don't know. I thought, I was interested, I was into it. I was very, mainly because Hilary Swank just killed her role. So yeah. That's why I was into the movie. How'd you feel, Daniel?
Wait, you said you liked it.
I liked it.
You said you didn't hate it.
Didn't hate it.
I kind of hated it.
Yeah.
We have an interesting mix. This will be a great podcast.
Yeah.
You know what? I agree with you that, again, Hilary Swank's performances was awesome. It was amazing. She, like, really took a role that I think could have been dumb and, like, made it into something really awesome and then put so much physical effort into making sure that she, like, really inhabited this character, which was very impressive and very obvious, like, when you were watching the movie, because you're like, she's so committed to this and, like, really doing a great job. I thought, for a lot of the reasons that, I guess, for a lot of reasons, I guess I don't like the tropes that Erica described in Clint Eastwood movies. I thought, like, it was needlessly dramatic in ways that it could have had more impact if it wasn't, like, so, like, bah, 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 like, so serious about everything. Like, if every time I saw Clint Eastwood, he wasn't in full shadow. Like, then maybe the one time at the end where, like, something actually really important and dramatic happened, he was in full shadow. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. And this is, like, my main criticism of this movie is that, like, it just felt like everything that it was doing was way too much.
Yeah.
And in a way that made me, like, unable to appreciate, like, the actual cool things that were happening.
That's interesting, because the way I kind of think about this movie that I think makes me like it is I'm like, okay, it's a Clint Eastwood movie with really strong performances.
Uh-huh.
And for me, like, just packaging all of those weird shadows and, like, intense moments where people are just speaking not what they're trying to say to each other and being, like, really, you know, kind of obtuse about things. They're, like, saying stuff, like, I kind of put that all in the, like, Clint Eastwood bucket, and then I'm like, Clint Eastwood movie, done, got it, gonna have, like, all of the signatures of that.
Sure.
Great performances, especially by Hilary Swank.
Well, then,
so, maybe I just like it because of Hilary Swank.
Yeah, I think she carries the movie.
Well, because, like, I think it's weird to say that, like, you're grading this movie on a different scale than we'd grade any other movie.
Yeah.
Like, because we're saying, oh, it's a Clint Eastwood movie, so it has to have these. Therefore, like, Then like, oh, it's great, because, like, it's good for a Clint Eastwood movie, because, like, most Clint Eastwood movies, like, maybe Gran Torino, are just, like, all that and, like, have no cool performances to, like, make them good.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's saying that, like, I don't know, that seems like kind of apologizing for a bad movie. Or a movie that, like, doesn't...
Yeah, but I didn't think it was bad. I think it had some bad parts.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad, per se, and I think it definitely had those problems. I think had they kind of backed up a lot of their dramatic beats with, like, actual, like, I don't know, story, it would have been a lot better, especially, like, the part where Clint Eastwood has, like, a bad relationship with his daughter. They allude to it, like, once, and they just kind of give him, like, a look off into the distance thing every time he, like, thinks about a daughter or, like, thinks about Maggie in that way.
Yeah, and
so
the scene where they're driving in the car, and she just says, like, after they see her parents, or her character actress, Margo Martindale. And... She's just like talking to him about his family. He goes like, oh.
Yeah. So like, it's a lot of work on our part to be like, well, clearly he has some sort of like weird relationship with the daughter. And like, you figure like, oh, we're definitely going to get into that. Cause it's an important part of his character. It's an important part of his relationship with, Maggie. But like, they never do. They do that one part. Where, like, I think maybe Morgan Freeman says something to the effect of, like, oh, his relationship with his daughter is weird, or he says something about his daughter, and you can tell it's weird, but they don't go into it, like, in the slightest, so it kind of doesn't back up this drama that they want to create with, like, the shadows and the looks. It doesn't back it up with, like, actual story and things that we care about.
Yeah, I think that's right, because what I think, like, to add on to that is I think, like, in theory, this movie is, like, has all the parts that it needs.
Yeah.
Like, it has a very interesting, compelling lead character. Like, all the support characters have, like, really cool, deep backstories. The movie just, I think, doesn't really do a good job of, like, putting those out there in a way that's, like, compelling.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think, like, you doing it in subtle ways and not, and, like, alluding to things and not being so upfront about, like, having a scene where Clint Eastwood would be like, oh, my daughter and I are estranged and I'm upset about it, would be dumb. Like, that would be bad movie writing also.
Yeah.
But the way that they try to be subtle about it, I think, is not subtle.
Yeah.
And just, like, dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, weird because they don't directly talk about it, but also the way that they're being subtle doesn't let me make that connection for myself. And it's almost kind of like the reverse issue that we're having in action movies right now with, like, all of these characters, like, think Avengers or, like, X-Men, where, like, they're trying to go into the backstory so much of everyone that you're just like, oh my god, everything's a flashback, holy crap, I'm moving so fast, I feel like I'm on a weird drug, and it's just, like, nothing's the present. And it's like, so I feel like it's almost the opposite of that, right?
Sure.
Because, like, in that one, they're trying to inject too much story. And in this one, they definitely had the story in their minds, but it didn't make it, it seems like,
it's
to
like
the final
ghost of
script.
A story.
Yeah. It's like you feel it, but it's not executed quite well. And maybe that is because of the weird mashup between, like, a really solid story and the, like, directorial style of Clint Eastwood, which is kind of like a hard-hitting style.
Yeah.
You know, it's like subtle with hard-hitting, for some reason, didn't really match.
Yeah. And I think it might just also be that, like, the grit is, like, very characteristic of movies at that time or something. Like, I don't know.
I know. The grit is definitely Clint Eastwood. Yeah. And also, I think it's also kind of attributed to other performances. Like, Hillary was great. Mm. I didn't love Clint Eastwood's acting. Because I think it's very... I think he wanted to portray just grit. Like, he... Yeah. I feel like he very much wants to be, like, the just gritty person. And he didn't put any, like... Like, even, like, the slightest amount of, like, heart into the role, I think. Like, we were talking after the movie, and I think we said, like, Robert De Niro would have done a good job.
I don't know if everyone
thinks that, but I can see that. Just, like, putting a little bit more, like, just something into the role other than, like, I'm a gritty old man.
But I think, like, keep in mind, he also has to direct the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really know how that balance would go. I would imagine it would be very difficult to balance directing the entire thing but with embodying your character. Other people can do it.
Yeah,
and
I'm saying. Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I understand. But, like, for me, I think this is just, like, there are people who love Clint Eastwood's acting style.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people because everything he says is...
Yeah. He's like Batman.
He just, like, grumbles. He Batman grumbles, and then you're like, what? What? Okay.
Yeah.
I can't see you either because you're in shadow. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. That was,
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But, like, I think as a director, he did fine. Like, I'm starting to revisit my original premise of really loving the movie. I think I liked it.
I think
I just don't like Clint Eastwood stuff.
I think Hilary Swank just carried the... Like, I was invested in the movie because of Hilary Swank.
Sure.
I was very invested in her character, so I didn't dislike it.
Right.
Didn't love it.
That's why I think, like, this is a movie that you can definitely enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that I'm not trying to say that I'm dumb for enjoying. I just thought, like, as a whole, it wasn't that good of a movie. Because, like, any movie that I think is only driven on the strength of its one lead... And have, like, nothing else, really.
Yeah.
Especially a movie that, like, pretends to have so much else.
This is super interesting in light of that Michael B. Jordan boxing movie that came out recently, Creed.
Yeah,
we're having, like,
a
huge resurgence in, like, the boxing movie genre. And I saw Creed, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I think they did a great job of developing the story, developing the cultural atmosphere, developing all of that. And I'm trying to understand, like, what the difference was between Creed and what made it so successful. Mm-hmm. Even as, like, kind of a Rocky reboot, right, almost, right, which is surprising so good for being a reboot. Because you usually see reboot and you're like, But, like, Million Dollar Baby is kind of, like, touted as the iconic, like, boxing one movie of them, besides Rocky. Right. You know, like, the iconic, I guess, female boxing movie.
The two movies are trying to do very different things.
Yeah.
Like, Creed and Rocky are telling, like, triumphant stories of people.
It's like a Buildings Ramon.
Right. Story. Right. And even in Creed, which we're going to spoil now if you haven't seen, sorry. At the end, he doesn't win. But the whole time, you're like, he's going to win. He's going to win. It's awesome. It's like one of those hype movies.
Yeah.
Where everything that you see is just supposed to get you, like, excited to continue.
It's a triumphant film.
Exactly.
That might be the difference. Because this is the Clint Eastwood style, which is very, like, somber.
Right.
And, like, deep and, like.
Yeah, and that's like the I think when this came out, people were like, this is awesome because it's a different type of boxing story that we don't hear told.
Mm, yeah.
We don't hear the, like, I don't know, what am I trying to say? Like, we don't hear the story that gets into all the other stuff in a way. I don't know.
It's like
it just has such
a
different
story.
Tone.
It's like a gritty, like, there are a lot of things about Million Dollar Baby that are just outright depressing. And there's no positive angle that you can spin on it. With Creed, at least you're like, wow, this has been such a triumphant movie, and he lost, but, like, he's such a good guy. Like, he really, like, he has a hard work ethic, et cetera. And it's, the thing that I think is great about Million Dollar Baby is this character that Hilary Swank plays, Maggie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She comes from nothing. Like, she comes from nothing. She is not very intelligent, but what she does have is her drive. And then, like, she does very well, but then really bad stuff happens to her.
Yeah.
Like, it's overall a very depressive
right. Oh, and arc. That, I guess that's the difference. That's the difference. Like, Creed ends with, like, his hands in the air. Like, he didn't win, but he, like, might as well have.
And it's iconic because it's harkening back to triumphant boxing
in
movies. Rocky.
And at the end of Million Dollar Baby, like, Clint Eastwood murders.
Assisted suicides.
Okay.
We don't need to get into that in this podcast.
Like, the legality of it doesn't matter. Like,
well,
But, like, she's like, kill me. And he does.
It's
a very different place.
It gets very depressing, especially because they drag that part out. Like,
oh, my God.
The part where she's paralyzed.
Like, that scene,
I thought the movie was going to end way before it ended. And I was okay.
Yeah, but I think that was, like, actually probably the best.
When she was paralyzed?
Like, that I think, is the most interesting part of the movie.
Like, I felt like it was just hospital bed trope.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, there was a lot of that, too. But I thought, like, that's, like, the only time that they, like, fully really engaged with the whole, like, parent thing. And that's when he was like, no. And he, like, kind of redeemed his character a little bit because he, like, finally accepted
her. I'd agree with that. I think it was the best part of the movie for the Clint Eastwood character.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And then, like, I honestly think that for Hilary Swank's character in that moment, like, there's nothing. And you'd ask to, like, that.
Yeah.
Because if you were paralyzed and you had built your whole
and you can't do anything,
it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah,
like, you were at, like, peak physical form. Yeah. Like, that's, like, that was you, and then it all gets taken away.
Very, that's a great point about the triumphant story arc versus the depressive one.
Right.
It's just a very different story arc, and when it's combined, I think, with Clint Eastwood's, like, hard-hitting style, again, it just becomes so heavy. Like, it's a very heavy movie.
Yeah.
Like, you feel weighted down once you watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's again, there's so much in this movie that I can appreciate, like, theoretically.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy that someone being Clint Eastwood was like, I'm going to make a different kind of boxing movie. And then I'm going to do it with this female lead, and I'm going to make it something different than anything anyone's ever seen. But at the same time, I don't think that's enough. For me, the execution just wasn't there. And if you're, like, a bad movie, even in theory, if it's a good movie, it's still, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. We've been talking a lot about Hilary Swank. Okay, how do you feel about how, like, she portrayed a strong female character, or how her character was written? Like, because I feel, we were talking about this earlier, how, like, she's not, like, the very stereotypical, like, I'm a badass, I'm, like, really tough, and, like, she is really tough, and she has all of those things, but she's very, like, kind of bubbly, and she's kind of, like,
She's a fan.
She's, like, they give her a different, like, it's like a different take, I guess, on that type
of
character.
Yeah, I think she's a very nuanced character, which I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. She has an interesting background. She comes from a very poor family. She's very driven to be a boxer. She gets torn down a lot. She's not very intelligent, but she has her drive. And she has, like you were saying, kind of that goofy side that I don't think is kind of like, oh, I'm the klutzy girl thing. Like, yeah, it's not that at all. Yeah. It's like, I'm just like kind of a nice, goofy person is the way it came across. And I think that that was just such a well-written and portrayed character.
Yeah.
And you could sense that Hilary Swank put a lot of time and energy into just... Mm-hmm. Should I read some stats?
Yeah.
I have some numbers for you guys. Hilary Swank so impressive. Like, if you're thinking, I can't get to the gym for half an hour, this is going to change your mind. Because Hilary Swank did, like, that... For 10 people. Oh my god. Okay, here's some numbers.
Great.
She had 90 days to get ready for this role.
Nuts.
90 days.
That's insane. Because she's jacked in that
She was asked to gain 10 pounds of muscle. She gained 19 pounds of muscle. It's just crazy. So her daily routine was 2.5 hours of boxing, followed by 1.5 to 2 hours of weights. And she did that 6 days a week.
Yikes.
And because she was working out so much, she had to eat like crazy.
Yeah.
So she would, and she'd also have to sleep because she needed to like refresh her body. So she would sleep for 9 hours a night, but would have to wake up in the middle of the night to drink a protein shake because she had to be eating so frequently that she couldn't go through 9 hours without eating. God. She'd eat like every 2 hours, maybe even less. And she also had to drink egg whites and flax oil with all of her meals in order to get the caloric needs met for her body to keep on building.
It was like 4,000 calories, right?
Yeah, it must have been. I mean,
I read that.
Those are like very caloric. She's eating very calorically dense foods.
That's insane to me.
But yeah, so she, and I also read somewhere that to train, she would not only do like gym workouts and boxing workouts, but she would put her car into neutral and push it into its parking spot from like the entryway of the lot or something. Just ridiculous. She would push cars to train for this.
Much. That's
okay.
Awesome.
The other day, we were putting flyers under freshmen's doors. Like, we did two floors, maybe, in one of the dorms. My quads hurt from squatting. And, like, I was, like, you don't, I'm sore right now.
So, guys, if you think that it's too hard to carve out 10 minutes to work out, look at what Hilary Swank did in 90 days.
I'm motivated, sort of.
That's nuts. That's insane. Insane. And she said, so she was talking in one interview about what it was like to train to pretend to be a boxer. Because she wasn't a boxer.
Right.
She was putting on the guise of a boxer for the film. So she had to, like, do some really intense work. But she did boxing workouts. And she explained a boxing workout, like her first sparring match, which is when you're in the ring with another person and you're punching.
Yeah.
She explained it as doing jump rope as quickly as you can for 3 minutes while someone punches you in the stomach. She's like, that's the best description I can think of.
Honestly.
So just imagine that, but like for 2 hours.
She deserved the Oscar just based on that because
that's so much dedication.
Oh, my gosh.
And then to see that it wasn't just a physical performance of her looking the part, but her really embodying it emotionally and physically, I think is a testament to how great of an actress she is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Definitely.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was reading another interview, and she's like, yeah, I haven't worked out that much, but I'm an athletic person. It's like, oh, my God. Can you imagine the lifestyle changes you'd have to make? Working out becomes your job.
Yep.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, if you want more proof that actresses' bodies are a little unattainable.
Honestly.
There you go. I have the numbers.
But yeah, no, she's
nice.
Cut in that movie.
Yeah,
so.
it was awesome. It was so good.
No, she.
Yeah. And I mean, like. For me, she was the only, like, really good actress or actor in that film.
Yeah, even Morgan Freeman didn't do it for me.
No.
Like, especially his relationship with Clint Eastwood, it should have been much, like, they should have had a much better back and forth than they did. Like, even the lines they had were back and forth, but they didn't do it, like, a back and forth.
Can we talk about that in kind of light of male relationships in film?
Sure.
Because this is the part that I thought was really a trope.
Right.
Was the guys kind of speaking very quick, short lines to each other. Just being like, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it perpetuated I think it kind of perpetuated the idea that, like, men aren't super emotional.
Right.
I think we only get that, like you were saying, from Clint Eastwood in the very end.
Right.
But all the interactions with him and Morgan Freeman fell very flat for me because they weren't really expressing that
much. Yeah, and I think they were trying... Well, what they were trying to do, I think, is show what two people who are former boxers, how they would interact with each other. Because people who are boxers are, like, very stereotypically not super very emotional.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were trying to inhabit. They were trying to inhabit two characters that are not emotional, but who, like, have a very long history of interacting with each other. And are trying to hide that or something?
No, it's definitely supposed to be one of those things where it's, like, they have this back and forth. They have this, like, not very emotional, but you can tell that there's, like, a bond there.
Right.
And you can tell that there's a friendship there.
Right.
Like, by the way they interact, even if it's not super emotional, even if they're not saying, like, you're my best friend or something like that. Like, you can tell.
Yeah.
Like, the way they did it, it just kind of, it didn't do it.
It felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was just awkward.
And maybe that's just, like, I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to show us. I mean, maybe, I'm just going to go way out on a limb. Maybe the point is that, Morgan Freeman's character is blind in one eye because of something that happened in one of his fights, that where Clint Eastwood's character was, like, the one coaching him through that, and so Clint Eastwood blames himself for the fact that Morgan Freeman has an eye, like, is blind, and Freeman's like, nah, it's not that big of a deal. So maybe, like, there's so much baggage in the story that they can't be comfortable with each other, even if they're the only two people they can feel. It's a very complicated relationship.
But, like, it just doesn't work for me.
Right. It's just not compelling.
That's
what
I'm saying. It's like, it is a complicated relationship, but it comes across as, like, a masculinity trope.
Sure.
Of just two guys not being able to, like, share emotional moments with each other.
Right. And that's, like, one of the things. I think this movie is trying to work on six levels, but doesn't work on the first one. And so you can't even access any of the other stuff.
What is the first one?
The first one is just, like, is this, like, compelling? Like, is watching these two people talk to each other compelling?
Mm-hmm.
And for the relationship between Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman, it isn't.
Yeah.
In the relationship between Clint Eastwood and, like, the other random boxer who's, like, wily all over the place, like, it really kind of isn't.
Like, even those guys, like, didn't really do it. Like, they weren't compelling. Like, even, like, they were, like, the side characters, and there's that really weak, weird guy. Like, he was supposed to be endearing. You were supposed to root for him. You were supposed to feel bad for him.
I kind of did.
He
was random. I was just kind of random. Like, we don't really need, like, is he the comic relief character?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand.
And then, well, you get to the part where you see Morgan Freeman. I feel like it's supposed to be a triumphant moment when those guys are trying to beat up the kid, and Morgan Freeman, like, kicks the guy's ass.
Yeah.
But you don't care already.
Right.
I don't care. It's not a good moment.
I think what I was thinking in that moment was, oh my god, Morgan Freeman can pack a punch.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that maybe the way, I mean, if I'm imagining how this developed as, like, a project, I would see, you know, the scriptwriter and the directors, etc., really putting time into the characters and the theme first and foremost, but as individuals. So saying, like, we're gonna have this main character, we're going to put a lot of energy into crafting this character alongside the actor, alongside the director. And then, oh, we kind of want to have a funny character, so this guy's going to go here. And then, oh, these guys are going to be here. And then it was like, how do we connect everything?
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, that's, of course, complete speculation and probably not true, but it seems like when you watch the movie, that's how it developed. Like,
that's how it felt.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if that's not actually, like, what happened, it's what we saw.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you both still like this movie?
I think Hilary Swank carried the movie
was
enough
good
for me to not
I thought
hate
it was a good movie as, like, Hilary Swank character.
I very much enjoyed watching her.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was, like, a bad movie with a really good performance.
That's an interesting ontological distinction that I don't know if I'm ready to make at this time
of
morning.
I feel like I can tell when I dislike a movie and I didn't feel that. But I recognize problems with it, but I was still kind of in.
See,
I can't say that I hate this movie.
See, it's not a movie that I would devote another 2.5 hours to watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it again.
That doesn't mean
anything. I want to watch Pulp Fiction again, but we thought it was solid.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to watch Pulp Fiction again.
Will you do that?
Well,
I'm going to.
Congrats. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say something, but then I kind of forgot. So let's move on. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I think, I don't know, is there anything about this movie you want to talk about other than rankings?
Not really, but I...
Nah.
Yeah, anywhere, any...
it
I feel
made
like...
me... Oh, you know what? It made me want to watch more Hilary Swank movies.
That's true.
Right. Again, a bad movie with a great actress doing a great job in it.
It's the one that's
So you're saying,
Dangerous
like,
Minds,
bad
but
movie,
not
good
Minds
performance
yeah,
type of thing?
That's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, I guess then that gets into the question of, can a performance carry a bad movie out of its badness?
I think...
And you don't think so. I think a little bit more so than you do, I think, yeah, is what I'm realizing.
Sure. Depends on the I'm not sure if I don't think so, because I'm not sure if I can say, like, I've never seen a movie where the like main person's acting was so good that I didn't care that the movie was bad. For this movie, like, Clint Eastwood's name was all over this movie, and that made me totally unable to, like,
okay,
separate Clint Eastwood from this movie. And the badness of the movie from, like, yeah, Hilary Swank's amazing performance.
Yeah. But I'm glad, that's like, fair, she got her recognition, because I feel like...
definitely.
She put her heart and soul into it, so if this movie had just gotten, like, poor reviews, it just... Yeah. Like, Jobs. Like, I felt bad for Ashton Kutcher. You know?
What?
He got, like, real into the Steve Jobs movie that he did, and he didn't do well at all. Like, he did pretty solid performance, but, like, no one liked it, and, like, it didn't get any, like, anything. Fassbender overshadowed him.
Yeah.
Well, made me sad.
We can talk about Michael Fassbender. That can just be a whole podcast. I love him. But, I think that you can tell that this movie was kind of made as an Oscar movie.
Right.
I think it's very evident that it's trying to be, like, the movie that we nominate for the Oscars.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. Great performance. Okay movie. I've gone down to okay.
Moral of the story is Hillary's.
I think, just okay, great.
All right. Everyone, guess the ranking.
I saw the number, so I can't guess.
Also saw the number. Damn it!
Okay, it's 195. Bad. Overrated or underrated?
Oh, wait, I actually thought it was 95.
No, it's 195.
Oh, 195.
I think that's a little bit low, meaning...
Right? Huh. So confusing.
Low on ranking.
You should, like, be higher.
I think I would see it as, like, maybe 150-ish.
Really?
I mean, considering that I didn't like the movie, I think it's probably overrated. Yeah. But then again, like, I mean... I would expect that it would have been higher.
Oh, I forgot this was 250 movies. I thought it was 200. That was so stupid of me. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, okay, I'm comfortable with that.
Like, I guess, like, it's fine that it's on the list.
Yeah.
In my mind. And so if it's going to be on the list, this, at least it's closer to the bottom.
For, like, a strong female character performance,
yeah,
I think this is a great example that should be on a movie list somewhere,
sure,
for, like, movie characters. Right. I know this isn't top 250 movie characters,
right,
but I still think that that has some weight on.
I agree
on this. So yeah, I would say keep it in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
If this was a list of top, like, 250 movie characters, this would be way higher.
Way higher.
Yeah,
like,
because Hilary Swank's, like, character is
top
super
10,
interesting.
Top 20. Yeah.
If anything, watch the movie for Hilary Swank.
Yeah,
because she, like, you, she deserves to be watched.
She does. I can 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Other fun Hilary Swank movie that I watched in high school, Amelia. The story of Amelia Earhart.
Oh, right. She was in that movie. Yeah. Didn't it bomb?
It did bomb.
Yeah.
So I would recommend watching Dollar Baby. No, it bombed.
But, like, it bombed critically? Or it bombed
just, like, I wasn't. I'm pretty sure. It was not the best.
Oh,
yeah.
But, again, Hilary
Swank.
She's
also in that other, like, I'm a white teacher in an inner city school, and I'm going to inspire these kids.
Oh, Freedom Riders.
Freedom Riders.
That's a great movie.
That's the one.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Some great Hilary Swank.
She's
films
a great
out
actress.
There, but I would watch Million Dollar Baby. I think it really, really shows you what inspired and dedicated acting looks like.
Yes.
Is there a movie called Boys Don't Cry?
Like, oh, that is a very iconic film, actually.
Yeah. Oh, P.S. I love you.
She's the first,
that one's cute.
Transgender. She's one of the first transgender portrayals.
Oh.
Yeah. Watch that as a point.
Yeah. She's in a lot of movies.
She's in she's in The Core, which is a movie I watched in 7th grade.
Oh.
Just. Well, if you want her really stellar performance, I would stick to Million Dollar Baby and try to ignore the bad lighting that Clint Eastwood employs. Yeah.
Towards the end, you're like, are the lights even on? Like,
I couldn't see some scenes.
It's just black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much shadow.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, follow Georgetown Boys at G-Town Boys?
Yeah.
On Twitter.
You should know this.
You should know this by now.
At Halftime GU on Twitter. We'll Def start tweeting from that. Follow. What are we else doing? Like us on Facebook.
Hooray! So
our first issue is out, so you can.
Oh yeah, pick it up.
On
it's beautiful.
Stands now.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like a pink cover. It's very bright. You'll notice it. It's pick it up. Get
it's
reading.
Great.
It's a really good issue.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's a really good issue. Agreed. I'm biased, but
killed
I think
it.
It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I really liked it too.
Yeah. It was solid.
Cool.
All right.
What's your Twitter?
At at DNHewitt96. Follow me on Twitter. What is everyone on Twitter?
I am at DRVARG01. Follow for hot takes on global health.
The hottest of hot takes.
Scorching hot.
And mine is Erica A. Bullock, E-R-I-K-A-A, and then Bullock like Sandra Bullock. Follow no for, relation. Like, pretty tepid takes on most things, some puns. I don't know, some it's puns. Kind of like if I were to talk and then type.
Yep.
And then press enter.
Same.
Halfway through a thought. That's, like, kind of what my Twitter is. But great. I also post some cool education and voice articles,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Erica is actually great on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Wow, I'm so flattered.
Danielle is also great on Twitter.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, my God. Wow, what a, oh you're God. Great on Twitter. I know, have I told you?
You're, no, you're great.
No, you hang out.
No, you. Guys.
Okay, we're going to turn off the podcast. Hey,
bye.
We need to just compliment each other for a little bit.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.